There are two things in life which are certain: death and taxes. I'm talking about this current world. I'm not going to talk about death today. I'd like to talk about taxes. Now, when President Trump, he wasn't the president yet, was running for president, he was asked during one of those debates why he is not paying any taxes. And his answer was, because I'm smart. Now, he was greatly condemned by many for saying this, for doing this. I didn't condemn him at all. I thought, well, he is smart. He found a way not to have to pay taxes in a legal circumstance. We had a minister who was also a smart guy, and he was also very good when it came to figures and accounting procedures, and he also was able to get to the point where he didn't have to pay any taxes based on whatever he could deduct. And people were envy. They were jealous. They said, oh, well, how come he doesn't pay taxes? And I thought, too, no, he's a smart guy. He is a smart guy. Now, what I'm going to tell you today is not that I will encourage you not to pay taxes. That's not the point. But I think we have to have a right and proper perspective insofar as taxes are concerned. You know, Jesus Christ at one time was asked by those who wanted to trick him whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not. Of course, you find that episode in Matthew 22. He said, well, show me the tax money. They brought to him a denarius. He said, whose image and inscription is this? And of course, they said, it's Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Of course, he was telling people to pay their taxes as they would do, but I want you to notice a very important distinction. Things to Caesar's are not identical to things that are God's. Of course, there we're talking about tithes and offerings being given to God, but they're two different things. Some people feel, oh, well, you know, paying taxes, that is pleasing to God. Well, it's only to the extent that we are supposed to do so. In Romans chapter 13, Paul was making an interesting point. He says, well, we are doing it for conscience sake. He said, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Therefore, render to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, and so on. They are God's ministers. He's talking about tax collectors, so to speak, IRS agents today, if you please. Well, without any doubt, this is one of the very difficult statements Paul has made, as Peter himself said. There are certain things he made which were difficult to understand, and some people would, of course, use him for a different purpose. But how do we understand that tax collectors are God's ministers? Well, we have a Q&A on that very point, and we say in there, God is against anarchy. At the same time, the present ruler of this world, Satan the devil, will be replaced by Jesus Christ at the time of his second coming. In the meantime, for the sake of God's plan and his people, rulers of the world can be influenced by God to carry out his purposes and to do good for his true servants, and they can thereby become, at least temporarily, God's quote-unquote tools or quote-unquote servants or quote-unquote ministers. But we got to understand, this is not God's world. This is Satan's world. The rules, the governments, those who are in charge are not those who are pleasing to God in most cases, not at all. But God puts them in a certain position because otherwise the world, which is built on sand, but it's still a house, still in existence, would fall apart, and it's not supposed to fall apart until the time has come. That is why God is against anarchy. But this doesn't mean that therefore we have to go beyond what we are supposed to be doing. I would not want to pay one dime more to the IRS beyond what I am owing. The reason being, the taxes which are being collected today, for the most part, are being used for either irrelevant, unnecessary, or ungodly purposes. Now, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay taxes. We should, but not with the frame of mind, oh, this is a great thing to do. In Proverbs chapter 29, and in verse 4, a very interesting statement is recorded. And of course, I'm reading now from the New American Bible. It says, by justice, a king builds up the land, but one who raises taxes tears it down. And the German Luther Bible says, he who demands high taxes destroyed it. And that is very true. The burden people are suffering under, whether it's the United States of America, whether it's Germany, whether it's Europe, whether it's Great Britain, the tax burden is ridiculous. It is the most unrighteous thing you can possibly imagine. I was absolutely shocked when I was recently confronted with what taxes are being paid, for instance, in Germany. It is absolutely appalling and ungodly, and I would say demonically inspired. No wonder people don't want to work anymore. They said, well, we are working for the government to pay them our taxes for one-third or more of what we are making. Absolutely ridiculous. Yes, rulers are tearing the country down when they are raising taxes or when they are putting high taxes on the people. There's a very good example. In 1 Kings chapter 12, see, Solomon had died, and his son Rehoboam became the king, and the people came to him, the people of Israel, and they said, your father made our yoke heavy, and we're talking about high taxes. Now therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. So the king listened to the older, wiser people, and they said, yeah, heed their advice, you know, reduce the taxes. And then he listened to the younger people, and they said, oh, no, you have to even increase the taxes, otherwise they will not follow you anymore. And here comes his decision. In verse 14 of 1 Kings chapter 12, we read, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. What happened? The people said, well, that's it. And all of Israel walked away. Only the tribe of Judah remained, and then, of course, later you had Levi and Benjamin joining Judah. Of course, this was prophesied. It was to happen because God had said, because of the sin of Solomon, this is going to happen. But we still see the responsibility of that king, Jeroboam, or rather Rehoboam. He was responsible, humanly speaking, making an absolutely foolish and ridiculous decision, leading to the destruction of Israel. Have you ever thought about the fact that taxes are not blessings but curses from God? Very clearly, Israel wanted a king. They demanded a king. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 8, God was telling Samuel, you shall solemnly warn them, show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage, he will take a tenth of your sheep. Now, this was taxes he would impose beyond and above the tithes which is owing to God. The Study Bible has this to say about this statement. This phrase reflects the practice of taxation that would be imposed by a king as warned by the prophet Samuel. In the ancient Near East, it was common for monarchs to levy taxes on their subjects to support the royal court and military endeavors. The tenth mentioned here is reminiscent of the tithes, which is a portion dedicated to God. Unlike the tithes given to God, this additional tax would be for the king's use, indicating a shift in allegiance and resources from divine to human authority. This imposition foreshadows the burdens of centralized government and the potential for exploitation by human rulers, contrasting with God's provision and care. And so this is what we are seeing in our countries, the countries derived from the houses of Israel and Judah, but we see it all over the place. Even in ancient times, in the book of Nehemiah, people would come to Nehemiah and complain they were under the king of Persia, and look what they said. We have borrowed money for the king's tax, on our lands and vineyards. Nehemiah 5 and verse 4. Even at that time, they had to do this. People couldn't survive based on the heavy taxes which the governments imposed. And so they had to actually borrow money in order to be able to pay the tax to the king. Now, there were some temporary exceptions, which was always good to see. And I'm always happy to read something like that in the book of Esther. We read that the king made a great feast, the Feast of Esther, second chapter, if you want to look at this later, for all his officials and servants. Now it says here in the Authorized Version, and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. But a better translation is, rather than saying he proclaimed a holiday, he granted the provinces tax relief. There was an exception to the rule. Some kings did do that, not too many ever did, but some did. We have an interesting episode when it came to the so-called temple tax. The people asked Peter, how come your master is not paying the temple tax? So Peter comes home, you read that episode in Matthew chapter 17. Of course, Christ already knew what was coming, so he asked Peter, Simon, from whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said to him, from strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. So he was in effect saying, well, we are not under any obligation to pay the temple tax. But notice how he continued. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. That's how he paid the tax. Now, he did pay the tax in order to not offend the people, even though he had just said, well, you know, really, we are not under any obligation. The point I like to make is, yes, we have to pay taxes. I'm not telling you you shouldn't pay taxes, but let's not get all wrapped up with the wrong idea and concept and saying, oh, well, this is going to be great, and this is going to be God's will, and blah, 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 and God is going to be happy when we do it. He's only happy when we do it insofar as we are submitting to human government, because he tells us to do that. But he's not telling you, pay more than you owe. Now, when it comes to his tithes and his offerings, that's a different story. Because there, the money goes to God and his church, and it's being administered wisely, at least it should be, and in the proper way. Whereas, the government of this world is not administering the tax money wisely. The question is, you know, we have all these tariffs, all this money coming and pouring in allegedly. Where's that money going? Are you going to be blessed because all that money comes in? Just the opposite. Prices are going up. They all are going up. Groceries are going up. We are hearing now that on an average, a family has to pay $2,500 more a year because of higher prices. This was before some of these tremendously great deals were made. Probably it's more like $3,000 for an average family. So, again, yes, taxes go into coffers of some people, but not to the average citizen. Now, another interesting exception was made, and you find that in the book of Ezra, chapter 7. In Ezra, chapter 7, Artaxerxes, the king, issued a decree. He issued a decree to all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river. He says, whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law, of the God of heaven may require of you, let it be done diligently. And then he said in verse 24 of Ezra 7, also we inform you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethinim, or servants of this house of God. So people working for God were exempted from having to pay taxes. Something similar to an extent we're having today, that ministers who are employed by a church can deduct from their taxes a portion, which is called the parsonage allowance or housing allowance, for which they don't have to pay taxes. This was actually ruled upon by none other than President Bush. So that is a nice exemption. Of course, you can only go so far. You cannot deduct too much, otherwise the IRS is not going to be happy about that because they are very anxious to get money. And of course, if they have to pay something out because they got too much tax or whatever, well, this takes forever. For them, a day is like 1,000 years. But here we have a nice exemption to this rule, which is good. And I would like to see that more of these exemptions would happen for all the people in different ways. It's not happening right now. The tax burden is ridiculous. It's crazy. And we can only look forward to the kingdom of God when Christ comes back to this earth, because then all these taxes, all of them, will be a thing of the past. They won't exist anymore. What we have then is God's tithe. Yes, that's going to be given to God, to Jesus Christ, to his servants, to be administered wisely. But the taxes of this world today are not something which God has put in place. It was done through Satan's inspiration. And of course, we see that when the people wanted a king, that's what they got in return.